Loving Father, we pray this morning that, like Ezra, that as we prepare our heart to seek the law and to do it, and then to teach others, that your living, abiding principle will bring forth true holiness as we continue to depend upon your righteousness for Christ's sake. Amen and amen. Good morning and blessed Sabbath to all.
Good morning, sis.
We're going to get right into this, right into the study. I want to encourage you this morning, get your book, get your pen, because you will hear some things you have never heard before. And so we want to get right into the scriptures as our hearts are being moisturized through prayer, that the scriptures will get into us and God will bring about his holiness indeed. And so the opening scripture this morning is taken from Isaiah 61 and verse 10. I have my sister that's a scribe and I'll ask her to read. I either ask Pastor Polly when they're around to read the scriptures. And can you kindly come in and read the scripture right now for us, please? Get your pens in, your Bible and your book. This is serious, for we are in the presence of a holy God.
I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels.
Amen. Thank you. Now read it over again. Look at this carefully. Pause at the commas. Pause at the commas in the scripture. Pause there. Read again. Listen carefully. Go again, sis.
I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garment of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. You notice here, we're going to look at three main aspects in the scripture. The garment of salvation, the robe of righteousness, and the bridegroom that decketh himself. Now, I'm going to ask this question. I'm going to provoke you to think. Note this down in your book. Three main principles we're going to look at. The garment of salvation, the robe of righteousness, and the bridegroom that decketh himself. Now, without this study, the studies that went before, the anointing, the holiness, and the feet, bare feet, none of that will happen without this. This is the center, and this is the anchor of all studies as we continue to journey with God. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. I just want you to respond. Anytime I ask a question, let me just explain this. I'm not looking for right answers. Right answers does not make me us right. I am looking for obedience. That's how God taught. He asked. It's a method of him that to prove to us that his spirit is with us. Now, what's the difference between the garment of salvation and the robe of righteousness? Is there a difference? Is it a yes or a no? Or if you can tell the difference, anyone and everyone, just about two or three, just to provoke thinking. Is there a difference? And what's the difference?
I say yes.
There is a difference. All right. Do you know what's the difference?
The robe of righteousness of strength.
I know that. I'm asking if you can see, and that's good for the definition. Do you know the difference between the garment of salvation and the robe of righteousness?
What is submitting yourself to Christ?
All right. Anyone else? Thank you very much, sis. Thank you. One more. The garment of salvation and the robe of righteousness. Anyone and everyone. One more. All right. There's a difference, right? The garment of salvation is the gift. The garment of salvation is the gift. The robe of righteousness is the reward. Now, take note. The robe of righteousness is the reward. Right? So the sanctuary, remember, in the sanctuary, Christ is the author, Christ is the instructor, and Christ is the interpreter. Remember, I've given you two sets of law. When David said the law becomes broader, right? The letter of the law, the spirit of the law in service, and the law in character. Right? Reasoning, intellect, judgment, and will. Same thing. Principles. Broad helps us to think. Now, the garment of salvation is a gift. The robe of righteousness is a reward. We're setting this up. We're building a skeleton outlook here in the scriptures, because the scriptures will open the scriptures. Now you have here the bridegroom, right? The bridegroom. I'm going to ask, and we know the story of the bridegroom, but I'll ask someone here to read Matthew 25 and verse 10 for us to get a picture, again, in the mind, according to the word, empowered by the Spirit of God. 21, can we have Matthew chapter 25 and verse 10? We're looking at the bridegroom now.
And it reads,
And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut.
All right. So we know the story of the bridegroom. The minute we hear the bridegroom, we think about the wise and foolish virgin. Now, a lot of times Seventh-day Adventists pray about the wise virgin. We're not the wise virgin. We're not. We're not supposed to be. If you're praying to be the wise virgin, it might be too late in your life. And now you may say, well, Amanda, well, what are you talking about? Well, the scripture will help us to see. Now, in the bridegroom, they have, it's a twofold prophecy. It's a twofold prophecy. So we are a twofold parable, right? A twofold parable. Now, listen carefully. Again, take notes as we build on the scripture and as the Spirit of God continue to lead us. There's two phases here, twofold. One is the bridegroom going to the Father to receive the bride. That's one. Write that down. One, the bridegroom going to the Father to receive the bride. That's one. And two, the bridegroom going to the marriage fest for the celebration with the invite guest. All right, so it's twofold. Constantly, when you see the scriptures, when you read the scriptures, you begin to think line upon line, principle. Line and principles here. Precepts. All right, I'll go this over again and tell me, and I hope that you get it as we line up to do the study. Now, here in Isaiah 10, 61 and verse 10, we look at the garment of salvation. We're picking up the garment of salvation. The topic is the robe this morning. So you want to see if you're wearing the robe, right? You want to see if the robe is on you, right? And then the other principle is the robe, is the garment of salvation, and then the garment, the robe of righteousness, right? The robe of righteousness, and then the bridegroom. So the garment of salvation is the gift. The robe of righteousness is the reward. Then we went into Matthew 25 to remind us about the bridegroom, where he went. Now here we notice in this parable, there is a twofold meaning. One is that the bridegroom went to his Father to receive the bride. That's one. And then second, the bridegroom going to the marriage feast for the celebration of the invite guest. I want to pause here. If you get this, just give God thanks as we journey on with him. At least a couple of prayers in giving God thanks if you can see this through the scriptures as we continue to look to him as he hears us today. If you can see it, give God thanks.
Dear Heavenly Father, I'm grateful that you have to Jesus as the bridegroom for the church, and that he is going to be ready for the celebration. Help me to be ready as well, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Father, I give you thanks this morning for the bridegroom, dear God, because you are my groom. Lord, you come to give me salvation this morning, and as you put your hand in my hand this morning, I give you thanks for your righteousness in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Anyone else? All right. Thank you very much. Now we notice here we have the garment of salvation, we have the robe of righteousness, and the bridegroom. So when we align these principles, we are looking now for the foundation of them, the main principle. So are we going to start now with the bridegroom going to the Father to receive the bride? The bridegroom going into the Father to receive the bride. I'll ask you to read Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Anyone?
Yes, it's coming. Daniel chapter 7, 13 and 14.
I saw in the night vision, and behold,
visions.
One like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him.
Right. You notice here, excuse me, you notice here in the scripture, can you read it over again? Read it over with again. Don't get upset. I want to read it over for emphasizing on seeing.
I will read it for you. I saw in the night visions. So that tells us there was more than one vision. Visions. And behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him.
Amen. Now you notice there, the bridegroom came with the cloud and he came to the Ancient of Days. Where is he coming from? Now you notice Daniel is prophesying this way before Jesus. Right? Daniel is prophesying this way before Jesus even came upon this earth. Well, we're going to look at another scripture as the scripture aligns with itself. Since if this study is not understood, no holiness, no anointing can take place in our life. This is the foundation of the road, the righteousness, the anointing, and being bare feet in the presence of a holy God. Revelation chapter 21, verses 9 and 10. Revelation chapter 21, verses 9 and 10.
And it reads, "And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God."
All right, thank you very much. Here we notice when Christ has entered into the most holy, here we have the new Jerusalem, the bride, and the Lamb's wife. Right? You have three titles. We're not going to study this, but take note. You go back and really begin to study this. There are three titles because of characteristics. Right? That's why the titles are given in the Bible. When the titles are given, it's for us to learn our duty. We study to do the preparation, and then we implement with the assurance that the true witness will bring about that which glorify his name. So here we notice that Jesus has entered in. When Jesus entered into the most holy, he's coming from the holy place into the most holy place. Right? He's coming from the holy place into the most holy place. We're just going to use two scriptures for this because of time. Now, when Jesus moved, the movement of Jesus, and then you have the work of Jesus. Well, let me pause here again for prayer. Give God thanks if you understanding the line upon line principle. This is how short prayer is breathed, is understood, because the principle begins to open up the mind and you begin to pray according to the principle so that the Spirit of God will bring about the experience that is necessary to glorify God's name. This is how the anointing takes place. This is how holiness is manifested. And this is how one remains bare feet in the presence of a holy God. Couple of prayers here. Give God thanks if you can see the principle.
thanks this morning for moving my life from the holy, from the depths of sin, from the pit of sin, to the fullness of holiness this morning. I thank him for his mercy and his grace towards me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Right, anyone else? If you can't see it, saved, I will do it back. Because you need to understand the steps of what we're going through.
I'm not understanding it.
You're not understanding it. Which part you're not understanding?
The precepts, some precepts, and I understand the part about the salvation, the suggestion, the righteousness of the reward, and then the bridegroom and the bride.
Perhaps a softer tone.
When you got into the last one on Revelation 21:9-10, when you talked about the three, the bride, I think it was the Lamb's wife. I believe it's Jesus.
All right. Okay. If you go back to Daniel chapter 7, when he came to the Ancient of Days, then right in there, Revelation now 21 verses 9 and 10 is manifested. When he came to the Ancient of Days, it's to receive the wife, the bride, the New Jerusalem. Is that clearer?
It's clear.
Okay. Well, why not give God thanks?
I thank you, Lord, for giving me clarity on the precepts, built upon precepts, and how Jesus is coming from the New Jerusalem, how the bride will be received. From Daniel 7:13-14, Revelation 9:10. Thank you, Lord, for helping me see. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Sister Amanda, I just want to give, as Phyllis specifically said, she didn't understand the precepts. Phyllis, write down, and anyone that is taking notes, Isaiah 28:10-13. That's what Sis was referring to. And that was God giving a warning to Jerusalem. And he's giving that same warning to us that we may understand just what he is saying.
All right. You got the scripture, sir?
Just Amanda, what's the scripture?
28:10-13.
No, I didn't say 10 to 13. I said 28:10-13. She referred to it as we are constantly talking about going into the Word. There are too many teachers, too many leaders, that they do a lot of talking. What we're trying to do is to let you see the Word of God speaking. Isaiah 28:10-13.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Okay. So now when Christ has moved into the most holy place, it was to receive his kingdom, right? He came to the Ancient of Days. You notice Daniel said very clear, he came to the Ancient of Days. So why not read that back again so we can emphasize, because this is important thing. This is salvation. This is holiness. This is the presence of God. This is the Spirit of God.
Is that Daniel you want read or Revelation?
Oh, Daniel chapter 7, because Daniel makes it very clear there.
Very clear. Okay. And it reads, I saw in the night visions and said, behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him.
Amen. So you notice here, he came with the clouds and he came to the Ancient of Days. Right? And if you read verse 14 to 5, thank you. Read verse 14.
It reads, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed.
Amen. I guess we did not read 14. That's why she couldn't see that clearly. Nevertheless, thank you so much. Now you notice Daniel, when Daniel saw this, when Christ entered, the scripture is very clear. He entered, he's coming from somewhere. That's in Tittle. He's coming from the holy to the most holy to receive his kingdom. The kingdom is called when he received the kingdom. Now Revelation 21, John saw in his vision. And this vision helps us to understand, according to Revelation, it represents by what? The New Jerusalem, the bride, and the Lamb's wife, pre-titled. We're not going to get into that. That's the fruit. That's the fruit. We're looking at the root. Now, here it is when Christ moved over. Remember I said to you, we are not white virgins. If you're the white virgin, the white Seventh-day Adventist, the white virgins are the Seventh-day Adventists that have backslidden. If you're a backslider, you're not here on the line. Aren't you backslidden? Now, listen carefully. There are three groups of people. Now, I'm going to ask you to read Ezekiel 47, verses 1 through 5. Ezekiel, and then I'll explain that which I'm saying. Ezekiel chapter 47, verses 1 through 5.
Can it read? Afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward, for the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under, from the right side of the house, at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without what the other gate by.
Yes.
Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the other gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits. And he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through. The waters were to the loins. Afterward, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over. For the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over.
Amen. Thank you so much. Now, we notice here, it's very specific, but we are looking at main principles here. You notice this water, the side was the east side, and all of that, the east side, the north side, all have specific meaning. But the entrance to the sanctuary is on the east side. We are journeying west to the most holy. Right? We are journeying west to the most holy. Now, when I say that we are not the white virgins, you read Christ's object lesson, and you, because of not seeing the foundation, you deal with the fruit. And when you deal with that, it becomes frustrating and scary. Right? Because what happens? You are not looking at the author. You are not looking at the instruction. And then you're giving your own interpretation. Now, we're looking at this, and you would see that there is an ankle experience. Right? There is a knee experience. There is a loin experience, and then there is the river experience. You could look at that through the covering of the sanctuary. You could look at that journeying through the sanctuary, either or. Right? Either or. You notice he uses the human body, and why Ellen G. White emphasizes that we ought to understand the physiological aspect, anatomy and physiology, because the body runs in harmony with the law of God. And so it's easy to minister to people from their own temple. You know, when the Spirit of God, she said, the Spirit, the Scripture tells us, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will tell us, lead us into all truth. He will not speak of himself. Constantly the Word of God with the understanding. Not praying through the magic. This is how short prayer is burnt it out. If we are not studying the Word of God, then your prayer is right there. Right with you. Because you're seeing line upon line principle. And what the Spirit of God does, he lines it up in the mind for you to pray back. And you're learning. We're making mistakes, but he's growing you up. You're learning from your mistakes. I say to people at times, write your prayer. Now listen to this. Now I said before, we are not supposed to be white virgins. We ought to be. The bridegroom cometh, that the Seventh-day Adventist proclaiming the message. Now, it's a swelling message. The ankle, we ought to be living at the knee and the loin. Especially the loin area. Right? Ephesians chapter 6, you would see if you study that and you study the loin area right there, you will come to understand the meaning and implement the principle so that our loins could be girdled up with truth. All right. So in other words, we are not the wise. We are having the experience to proclaim the bridegroom coming. You notice the Bible did not emphasize so much on that group. Right? When the fullness of time comes, then those who had oil in their lamp will join in with those who have been proclaiming the bridegroom cometh, and it will become two groups of people in the world. I'm going to pause here for prayer. And we should be jumping and praying.
Loving Lord, this is calling for heart searching at such a time as this. Your word is clear, yet not fully understood. It is sharp, and I pray that as we look to you, as I look to you at length, to my heavenly bridegroom, in these trying times, I will not mourn or complain, but that as I see your light and I think of where you are in the most holy place, may I make sure that westward at the direction's point, I will be ready as your bride. Now, so when you come, you will be able to take me home to be with you forever. Amen.
Come on, Faith. Give God thanks for what he is doing in your life even now.
Heavenly Father, I see, as I am understanding, that when I get into your word, I should not remain the same. The deeper I get, as the water came up to a river where one could not cross, I too must be full with your Holy Spirit. I too must be covered by your righteousness. So continue even now to fill me, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Anyone else? No one else?
Lord, dear Lord, we just want to thank you for this wonderful reading and the water of life this morning, because this water has been covering us, dear God. And as we measure this morning, this morning being mad, and there was water come out of my like a river before us this morning. We ask you, dear God, that your Holy Spirit may continue to lead us and guide us and direct us in everything that we do. And as we listen to your message this morning, let us be like a bridegroom, my God, that cometh with the oil, that we can be anointed with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to thank you for what you gave to Ezekiel. I'm not jealous. I hope to meet him one day. But his vision is becoming my vision as I see by faith that river. Not just a river, but I see one of healing. For those waters issued out towards the east country and going into the desert and going into the sea, I see the people that need to be reached. I recognize that I need to be your witness as I am healed by your touch. Others will come to sense that river where flows that water. Oh, we may have water and we may drink water where we will thirst again. But when we look to you and we see what is growing in us through the study of your word, our lives will never be the same. Loving Lord, what you are issuing this morning out of the sanctuary and the fruit thereof is meat for my soul. And I pray that as I by faith reach out and take even one leap, it will be medicine for my mind and for my heart. I thank you. I praise you, dear Savior. Amen.
Amen. All right. You notice here now, we have the basic principles here. We're going to go back to the garment of salvation, right? The garment of salvation, which is a gift. Now we see Jesus moved in, Jesus' kingdom. Then we are not wise virgins. We are proclaiming the bridegroom. Are we supposed to be proclaiming the bridegroom coming? Now, in the sanctuary, that's where healing takes place. God is healing his children. Right? Once you enter in ease with him, you're joining healing because he is the great physician. He's healing us from the malady of sin. Now, Adventism today have the privilege of going to the marriage by faith. That's why we emphasize righteousness by faith. Because we have entered into the holy as the most holy. That's why the law of God is so important to us. Right? And it's to bring about what? It's to bring about the nature, to understand the nature of Christ's work. And as we implement, he brings about his nature and prepare us for the reception of his kingdom. Right, so the scripture opens up the scripture there. Now the garment of salvation, which is a gift, right? The garment of salvation, which is a gift. Now the law of duty is taught to the holy place. Showbread, duties of the showbread, golden altar, candlestick. But the showbread that we eat is of the most holy place. It's called the bread of the presence. Right? The bread of the presence. Wherever Jesus is present, that's the bread. When he was in the court, that was the bread. When he was in the holy, that was the bread. When he moved to the most holy, that's the bread for his children to eat. So when you begin to eat that bread, he begins to do a work within you. Healing takes place. Love, that's why it's called regenerating power. Every day, he re-energized his children to identify the law in movement and then to appreciate the mercies of God with the privilege of transporting it to others. Now, in the journey with God as the garment of salvation, which is a gift, we do not talk about the gift. or the gift has not too much of importance to us. We look for the giver of the gift. You know, a lot of times, you know, wives, and many of you are out there, and you have your wife and your husband, when your husband do something nice for you, how you're very gentle and nice with him, right? And it's not really what he's doing or what he did. It is really about him identifying and appreciating you as the individual. Well, if you can do it, right? What about God, who is infinite in wisdom? So God has granted us all these gifts. It's not for us to talk about the gift. It's really to get to know the giver of the gift. You know, when you fuss and you fret about reading the scripture and praying the scripture, you think you're doing anyone a favor? You really think so? You're not doing anyone a favor, sis. God is testing. God is tempting you to see if you are obedient. That's what he's doing. He's testing you to see what type of your condition of your own heart. Right? So the garment now, this garment of salvation, in the garment of salvation is placed upon God's children. They are becoming willing, the ankle experience, the knee experience, the hip experience now, the loin experience is being given to them. What God is teaching his children is to appreciate every aspect that he is allowing to take place in your life. Because you are not your own anymore. You have been bought. You are a subject of his kingdom. Governed by his son, instructed according to his law. Right? And so now duties become something totally different. You begin to become willing, like Isaiah, here my Lord, send me. So you're making the preparation every day. You're making preparation. And when he calls like Philip to get you up by the Spirit, you are willing to go forth and do that, which as he manifests his love in and through you, in teaching, in praying, in healing, in hugging, in hydrotherapy, in whatever. When we live in the most holy place, we have no credentials. Our credential is Christ Jesus. We don't talk about a gift because once you are in connection with the giver of the gift, he will manifest whatsoever gift will glorify his name. This is to help us to understand, am I wearing the robe? Right? Am I wearing this robe? Now, the reward is the robe of righteousness that's cloaking his children, warming his children, drawing warmth from the coal as you begin to appreciate the giver of the gift. And I'm looking at the time. I'm a little over the time. I'm going to pause here for prayer. As we wrap up, I'm going to pause here for prayer. Remember, Elsie said it was from 8 to 9, or after 9.
Loving Lord, I just want to thank you for giving me an understanding about the duties that I have as a Christian. For the garment of salvation is to learn to appreciate the gift that you gave me. And the reward is to know that who I'm getting it from. It's Jesus, and my duty is to continue to work in your vineyard and know who I am in Christ. Help me, Lord, to stay focused through the Holy Spirit so that I'll continue to do your work in Jesus' name. Amen.
Sister Amanda, time is set by the Holy Spirit as he leads.
Okay. All right. So, says get into a season of prayer here. If you're understanding, give God time. It is important. Give God thanks.
Heavenly Father, I will give you thanks this morning for your Holy Spirit in my life. And now that I can be an example. It can be an example for me this morning that my life will be a light before you. I thank you for your words. And I thank you for the messenger this morning. Help me to be faithful and to be a soldier for you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, I too am thankful for the gift of salvation that you have given to each and every one of us. But you have given it especially to me. I'm claiming it that way. And because you have given me this gift, Father, my work now is to work towards that robe of righteousness, the reward which you will give if I am faithful. So I just ask this morning that as I embark upon your word, as I meditate upon your word, Lord, that you'll keep me faithful, continue to help me to grow in your grace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Father in heaven, I thank you so much for your precious gift of salvation. And as I continue to abide in your will and your word, Lord, help me to understand that your salvation was a free gift. And help me to keep it in my heart as I share this gift with others and tell of your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Loving Lord, when your son came on this morning and shared that there was a bomb scare at Oakwood, I pray that the world will see from Brother Baylock and others that are serious that there is going to be a bomb that is going to land, yes, in Huntsville, Alabama, and around the world. I wish to God that others were getting what we are getting this morning on the Global Power Bible Prayer Hotline. I was thankful that Sister Elsie came in and spoke about time, the way you're using yourself through Sister Amanda. I just want to praise you because we are seeing clearly just what you are saying. May we take heed for our present and eternal good. Help us to see what stands in the way. And may we follow the way. That's you, sweet Jesus. Holy Spirit, I am glad he recommended you to us. May we get excited and may heaven's standard become ours. And as I search my heart and as you search my soul, may I please you today in all that I do.
Anyone else? This is time for Thanksgiving, Sam.
Dear Heavenly Father, I also thank you for that gift of salvation, and I pray that you overflow me, Lord, that I may be the means that you reach other hearts, that they also will receive that gift of salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for
Father in heaven,
Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, and I pray and ask that you would reveal the truth to me. Help me to study and to allow your Holy Spirit to reveal what your word wants in my life. Help me to share it with others and to do your work as you bid me, dear Father. Help that this will be the desire for everyone on this line. I thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, loving Lord, for your garment of salvation that is so freely given to me. Thank you, Lord, that you, God, have covered me, Lord, with your righteousness. Help me, Lord, to tell it to the world. Help that my daily life will be a sermon so that others will see you shining in and through me. I pray. Amen.
Anyone else?
Father,
Father,
I'm
Marlene.
Your message about righteousness, the robe of righteousness and the garment and the understanding. Thank you for your salvation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Right, that's it.
Thank you, Lord, for the gift that was freely given to me, O Lord. I give you a praise this morning and thank you for the opportunity that I can be on the phone this morning to hear this message. I thank you for Sister Amanda that bring it so clear to us. Thank you for all your Holy Spirit is walking through her. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Anyone else?
Thank you, Lord, for your regenerating power. Thank you, Lord, for Sister Amanda and her clarity this morning. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Eternal and everlasting Abba, our Father, who art in heaven, we call on thee, the one who can make us again brand new all over, because your name is indeed Jehovah. We thank you for the gift that you have given us so richly in heaven through Jesus. Bless us with imputed, imparted, and implanted righteousness so that our living, singing, praying, worship, and service will never be in vain. We pray for the outpouring of the Holy Ghost to be upon every man, woman, boy, and girl throughout the whole wide world so that those who have not committed the unpardonable sin will be sealed, sanctified, and saved so that when Jesus comes, all of us together will finally be in that number together, saved by your grace, clothed with Christ, righteousness when the saints go marching in. Thank you for hearing our prayers and thank you for giving us a listening ear. I ask all these blessings and beg these mercies. Not according to our will, but thou will be done. For Christ's sake, in Jesus, how holy and sacred I am that I am. In his name, amen.
Amen. Anyone else? All right. So you notice here when you are covered under the garment of salvation, let's see if you're covered, you would not make excuses when you've been called for duty. You're not. That's right. As we were told, we must, if you are covered with the garment of salvation, you begin to be like Philip. You're meditating, contemplating, like Isaiah, ready to go, like Paul, trotting on with his passion filled, like John, tender, accompanying others to tell about the love of God, like Matthew. These men were ready because they did not see the word of God. They were living the word of God with the understanding of the position of Christ. So if you are praying to wear the robe of God and for holiness and anointing without this foundation, you have nothing. Say this again. Without this foundation here, you have nothing. Because you are not in alignment with Jesus. Right? Now, if you are covered over the garment, with the garment of salvation, the expectation of the reward is not your problem, because why? Jesus is the faithful witness. Right? In Revelation chapter 2, he gives a lot of titles there, who he is, in the Laodicean message. He is the true witness. So he, that which he has promised, he will fulfill. Now let's look at Matthew chapter 22, and I think it's verse 11. Let's read this and see. Matthew 22 and verse 11. Take these scripture things, because this is the foundation of Christian living. Matthew 22 and verse 11.
Matthew 22 and verse 11 reads, "And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment."
Yeah. Read that over again for us. Thank you.
"And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment."
Right. All right, so in other words, what is taking place in the Most Holy, God is investigating those who proclaim to be covered with the garment of salvation, seeing if they are fit to wear the robe of his righteousness. right? In other words, there is an investigation that is taking place. Investigative judgment is not a biblical theme, but the principle is picked up from this verse. The king is investigating his subjects. You get it? You understand? Are you seeing this clear? Anyone?
Yes.
Everyone? You seeing it clear?
Yes.
Good. Through the scriptures. Thank you, Lord. Loving Father, we thank you for the clarity of mind as your children embark on this journey of prayer and fasting. We thank you for exposing us to our true condition with the privilege of the fulfillment of the scripture that says, and out of our belly will flow rivers of running water. So some will be, many will come to taste and be refreshed. May the principle of these scriptures come to be meditated upon, implemented, so that as the righteousness of Christ accompany us, the fulfillment of the Spirit being among us will come, he shall dwell within us, will come to be fulfilled as we continue to look to you as the author and the finisher of our faith, in whose name we pray these blessings of mercies with thanksgiving. Amen and amen. All right. So in other words, in this here, God is doing to Christian Seventh-day Adventists, in this journey, and don't, and when you get tired and weary from doing well, doing, talk to God, sit down, talk to him. Because Jesus bought probationary time on Calvary. When the veil was rented, also time is in his hand, right? That's the principle there. When the curtain was ripped from top to bottom, he also bought probationary time. In other words, God knows when this whole thing will, he will wrap up this whole thing. He's giving us opportunities not to be among, and but to be among and a part of this movement of people that will proclaim the bridegroom coming. The bridegroom coming. Now, for you and I to understand, to wear the robe of righteousness, we should be understanding what it means, the bridegroom coming. Right? So you're going to have to pick that up and ask God for those insights that he has given in the Bible for you to see a true confession, make true confession and repentance so that you and I will come to be proclaimed, to proclaim the message. To be prepared to proclaim the message. All right. So here it is from Isaiah 61 and verse 10. This is deeper than what it seems as, than on the outside. I pray that as you look at these basic principles and you continue to study them, that God will continue to make us right unto salvation. Right? Because the garment of salvation is one aspect, it's a gift of God. You don't have to work for it. Because you have received the gift, you will work with the giver of the gift. And in working with the giver of the gift, the robe of righteousness is your reward. And because the robe of righteousness if your reward, you will be cognizant that there is an investigation taking place. In other words, your thoughts, your words, your action, your attitude, your demeanor is all being recorded in heaven. Right? All being recorded in heaven. And so God is working to clean us up. Without deep Bible studies, and this is superficial, but without Bible study, prophetic studies, according to the position of Christ, we would not see our sins. You can't, because it's in the holy of the most holy that the Shekinah glory was there. The law is there to point out my condition. When he points out my condition, I accept his mercy. And as I accept his mercy and begin to appreciate his kindness and his patience, he will get me forth. The Spirit of God will lead me to manifest those characteristics in the lives of others who are washing the robe in the blood of the Lamb, who he has placed in your path, in your own household, on your job, wherever you are. This whole team about medical missionary thinking you have to run here and run there, you begin to live medical missionary in your own household. Right? Many are and have become hindrance to the gospel. Nevertheless, the work of God continues as he is washing and cleaning up his children. I am going to pause here and ask for prayer as we close off. I pray that we have understand the position and the movement of Jesus. So when you pick up Christ's object lesson, God will give you insights about how to pray. How to pray. Because in the swelling from the ankle to the knee to the hip, in other words, those who are appreciating and those who are giving God thanks and those who are experiencing the gift of divine repentance through confession, when the river takes place, when that swelling of Jordan takes place, we would have had sufficient experience to take us through the river. Because at that point, it will be the Spirit of God alone working in and through our lives. But he would not be able to do it if we did not build up that relationship with him. And that's why the river is told in Ezekiel there, no man could go through it. It is the Spirit of God himself. Now, in typology, we would see that in Gethsemane. Right? When Christ was in Gethsemane and he began to agonize to drink the cup that God has given to him, he realized that he didn't want to drink this cup. He asked, is it possible that this cup be taken away? And then when he wrestled with God, that's the river experience when he wrestled with God and he surrendered, the Spirit of God continued to take him and march straight to Calvary. Thank God that he endured. Thank God that he wrestled, because if that did not occur, I could not have been standing here before you, or you could not have been listening to me. Let's pause here for Thanksgiving.
I thank you, Lord, for blessing me this day to be here, Sister Mandel, the vessel that you have used to carry this word into our hearts. Help me, Lord, to take it into my heart and be able to study all the scriptures that they have given us for our experience to be an experience that will have Christ walk with us and we walk with him in a relationship that will carry us to the in eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen.
No other prayer?
Go ahead. Dear God, thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for what you've done in our lives. Forgive me, dear God, for when I doubt and when I am impatient and when I judge you. And help me to rely on you, to wait on you, dear Father, to have faith in you and to appreciate, dear God, my salvation because of your grace. Please help that in the end, we all will be ready when you come. Thank you for your word and for those that you've placed to explain and to help us, dear Father, understand what it is you're imparting. I thank you so much for your love towards us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Anyone else? All right. Same appreciation for the gift of the Spirit of God opening our minds is crucial. If we can't appreciate the little things, God cannot give us bigger things. My encouragement to you is every time you learn or you hear truth, pause and give God thanks. Pause and give God thanks. It's a method of Christ. It's a method of Christ. Don't be reluctant to pray. No matter how feeble your prayer may be, when you're in the congregation and you're invited, listen, don't hear me. Ask God to see him speaking to you. If you are covered under the garment of salvation, you will begin or continue to appreciate the patience and the love of God in your life. All right. So here it is. I'm going to wrap up here with reminding us that this garment of salvation, the reward of gifts, and the bridegroom, it comes and it brings us right into the most holy place. Right into the most holy place. So when you move with Jesus by faith, the law of duty is understood. Then he begins to regenerate within through confession and repentance. A willingness begins. This is where the hunger and thirsting take place. John chapter 7, verses 37 to 39. Those scriptures are manifested in the life. That's the gift of the Holy Spirit manifesting in the life. A lot of times when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we look at him like a magician. Oh, well, you know, you need the Holy Spirit. How on earth are you going to get the Holy Spirit without Bible studies? Deuteronomy 32 and verse 2. How is it going to happen, see? It just can't happen by you just slapping a two words here and there, and then you sound all cute. You figure that God is looking, you know, some of these prayers are not even heard. I should say many of them. Right? It's not even hard. The thing is, once you see the sequence, if I was going to pray this back, listen to how God would lead me to do. Now, Lord, thank you for the gift of the garment salvation. May I become willing in the duty as I move as a subject in the most holy, awaiting your reward. Right? So you see a sequence. All the time you see a sequence there. Right? Help me not to wait to be a wise virgin, but to be the part of those who are proclaiming the bridegroom coming. So the wise virgins will come forth and join me in the movement and the celebration that awaits Jesus. So you're looking through the scriptures, and that's why I said, get your pen, write it down. And then when you begin to see line upon line principle, this is how short prayers is born. You cannot pray. If you pray just to please Patricia Langley, you're not going anywhere. It's not going to work. It's one king. It's one kingdom. It's one spirit. It's one doctrine. And it's one group of people. So there must be a willingness in seeing law and principle. When we begin to understand and meditate upon these things, then God brings in the aroma and the fragrance, and you begin to pray with that aroma and fragrance accompanying your effort, and you will be able to pray here in America and working, God working all over the world on behalf of others. Nevertheless, don't remain in your willing ignorance that, oh, well, the Spirit of God sent me to present his word. No, you have to accept accept that as God. And when you begin to fulfill and appreciate the blessings of God, then oil is coming in into your lamp. All right? So I'm going to pause and end here this morning. And I pray that you have seen the path and examine your life. If you have the robe, awaiting the robe of righteousness as the reward, as he accompany us. And that you understood and see the movement of Jesus as we follow in. And so, loving Lord, we just want to thank you. I thank you for this opportunity, and I thank you for your children and their willingness. And I pray that the aroma, the fragrance, and the righteousness of God will continue, Lord, to accompany our effort as the fulfillment of Ezra 7 and verse 10 take place. That we would prepare our hearts for you to minister to, so that indeed we could go forth and minister to others. You would minister to us, for Christ's sake. Amen and amen. All right, I want to ask here, though, I'm going to take like 10 more minutes, if you have any question here about any scripture, because I pray that this has been clear enough for you to see through the Word of God. But if you have any questions, just ask at this point.
I have a question, and the question
go ahead.
Is, you said there was two sets of people. Could you tell me that again?
Well, in Matthew 25, you notice that the scripture tells us about the wise and the foolish virgin.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But they have a group that preaches, remember the scripture tells us, I just read one scripture in Matthew 25 to provoke, but you have to go back and look at this. Then there's a group of people that are preaching the bridegroom coming. And we don't emphasize on that. We jump right down to the foolish and the wise, and we think we are somewhere there. But Adventism, that group of people is proclaiming the bridegroom coming. Now, in Ezekiel 37 begins to show, when you're proclaiming, when you're studying and praying and witnessing, when you're following the law of duty through Christ, you're having experiences that is taking place with the understanding of the law of God in the mind and the heart, the fulfillment of Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I will put my word law in your mind and I will write it upon your heart. Now, in that he's growing you up and you're proclaiming and inviting others about the doctrines of God, others are listening and some are living up. Some people are studying the word and living up to the truth. Then in the fullness of the river experience, between the hip, the loins, and the river, you know, with the proclamation of the loud cry, Revelation chapter 18, when it is going to become two groups of people then. When the fullness of time, Jesus bought probationary time. So now when that time comes, the wise, those who had all, those who were living up to the truth, those who were understanding their experience, even though it was them, those people are going to join in with those who are proclaiming the bridegroom coming. So then it will become two groups of people only. That's why in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 6, read that, sis. You want to know, read that. Read it loud for us. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 6. Look at what the scripture says, so it's saying to us.
Revelation verse 6.
Yeah.
And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. You notice two categories of characters. Kings and priests. Right? So
yeah.
Even when the two groups, in that two groups, there are kings and priests coming in into the fest, the celebration of Jesus. Is that clear?
Yes, it's clear.
Thank you. So give God thanks. Give God thanks, sis. Give God thanks.
I just thank you, Lord, for me having asked this question, because I was thinking about it as she was speaking, and I thank you for the answer. That became very clear. that the two groups who will come together come unto the Lord in the end. And I just thank you for it, Lord, because I didn't know, and you provided the answer as you always do. Thank you in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else?
No, Sister Anne, good morning. What I really puzzled me here this morning is Ezekiel 47, 5 and 4 and 5 about the measures of water and thousands, you know. Again, he measured a thousand and brought me through the water. The water were to the need. Again, he measured a thousand and brought me through the water. Work to the line, you know. So this is what I'm really puzzling about the water this morning, you know.
Well, what is it that you're puzzled about? The scripture tells us, let me jump in here to see, the washing of the word is water. Water in prophecy also symbolizes a people, but we're looking at specific principle in alignment with the content of the scriptures that we are reading. So we are looking at the water of the word of God washing us, bringing about wherever there is water, in the water, in the word of God, there is the sea, there is the spirit of God inside. So God is bringing about experiences. You know, when you experience something and then you experience it again and then you experience it again, it begins to become deeper and deeper. In the experiences, we begin to praise and thank God much more, appreciate his kindness towards us.
Yeah.
So when we talk about the ankle, the knee, and the hip, and then the river, that river, if you study the river, you can preach the gospel through the rivers. I don't want to excite you, but I when I got that study, when God showed it to me, I said, wow, I got to go back. It was one river that branched off into four heads in the Garden of Eden. In other words, you can preach the gospel through the rivers.
Okay.
Yeah. You could preach the gospel through the mountains. If you study, last night I wanted, but not last night, yesterday morning when we did, but because of time to... if you notice and you study with the feet, you would study that Jesus frequented Mount Olives. And we recite that. We recite that. But if you study the position of where that mountain was, if you study the meaning of where, and you use the sanctuary just to understand the instruction of how Christ moved, you would see he frequents that place. In other words, when you and I are praying with the earth, standing, there is expectation. That needed to come. Most gracious and costly gift ever given. We want a gift. We don't want to implement the principle. For the Holy Spirit to come, he constantly reminded himself of what was supposed to take place. Now, the olives, if you go back and you study the olives for the oil to come, the olives was not pounded in the grind. It was pressed, right? That's what you have called pressed olive oil that they cut us up with. But in other words, when the Spirit of God comes to write the law on the heart, he presses.
Amen.
He presses. And when you open up, you give him the privilege of doing the work he was commissioned to do. So it's not the devil and the pain. It's an agony, a mental agony that God's children will continue to go through as they experience deliverance from hereditary and cultivated tendencies.
Amen. Thank you.
Why not be God? Wait,
let the
sister pray and give God
thanks
a little
then. Loving Father, I just thank you for the understanding this morning of the water. But the people that are rallying around you, Jesus, I ask you, dear Lord, that your Holy Spirit may continue to build a measure in me, dear God, that wherever I go, dear Jesus, in the hills, in the church, in the hospital, and wherever I go, dear Lord, in the home, I may be a living water before your people, dear God, that I can present your word as holy and as sacrifice as a Passover for me, dear God, because you have passed this word unto me. And as I am the water of life, dear God, may your Holy Spirit be with me, that wherever I go, my God, I may spread that water above, that others may drink and taste of it, and they too may accept you as their personal Savior from sin. In Jesus' mighty name, I do pray. Amen.
Amen. Sister Eris, give me a permission, please, to correct your prayer.
Yes, thank you. Go ahead.
Yeah. Now, when this is occurring in the life of God, Sharon, it's not you no more, Eris. Yes. You see now, remember I tell you the law of the mind, the frontal lobe, reasoning, intellect, judgment, and will. So that prayer shows you're not reasoning, your reasoning is not clear in the alignment with the word of God.
Mm.
Right? Because you still think you're giving the water.
No, right? I'm not giving the water, but I just thank you, God.
The water, because it says, out of you will flow rivers of running water.
Thank you.
But, yeah, so when we begin to die, when a little Amanda becomes weak and they begin to die, and she begins, I'm diagnosed with spiritual pride. And you know, I have to take my medication so often because the little Amanda's wanna come out and they're not nice. So in other words, when God is working within you, you begin to die, and you literally begin to see the Spirit of God working through you, and you're amazed. You are amazed at the goodness and the kindness of Christ, that he can work through a vessel that is marred and messed up. Nevertheless, he is preparing you for deeper experiences. Remember the scriptures in John chapter 16 and verse 7, and he shall dwell among you, and he shall dwell within you.
Amen.
So he's among us, but he wants to get inside of us.
Thank you.
All right? Loving Father, I thank you for your daughter's the humility of Christ manifested through her, and may indeed you continue to reprove us, so that we can become sharp, honorable vessels in the hands of a mighty potter as you continue to mold and fashion us after the similitude of your Son, our substitute and surety, in whose name we pray these blessings with thanksgiving. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you, sister. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, the other sister, you can come in. Come in. Someone else was going to say something, and I asked you to pause until I finish with Sister Ari. Go ahead.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I am good, my dear.
I'm good.
You come with a question? You have any questions to ask? Any other questions or thoughts that you didn't understand? Anyone?
Well, Sister Mary, I wanted to just say, I believe it was I'm not sure who that was that she was talking to, but she asked about the rivers. Okay. If she read Ezekiel 47, it really explains it very well what he clearly talking about.
Yeah. Well, it's remember, even when the scripture is clear, we struggle sometimes. It's the spiritual application of the scriptures that we need. And it's not always clearly seen in some lives. Sometimes one can understand one scripture clearer than the other. That's why we need each other. That's why God places us here to learn from him, to minister to us, to each other.
Yeah, because I just read it, and then it brought it even more clearer, that fourth scripture.
Amen. All right. As we wrap up here, anyone else? Any other questions, thoughts, admonition, whatever? All right. So I pray that all is clear and well. Loving Father, we thank you this morning for the manner that you have prepared for us. I thank you for your children and your presence and your power as your law continue to instruct and guide, and your spirit continues to enfold us in your presence, allowing us to see our condition with an attitude of gratitude and thanksgiving as you continue as subjects of the kingdom of God to appreciate your blessings and the blessings that you manifest through each other. We just want to thank you, Lord, for keeping us and placing us on this platform of faith with the importance of the understanding, the distinctness, and the solemnity of time as you continue to make us wise unto salvation. Thank you again for these scriptures allowing us to see the line upon line and to be prepared so that we can continue to wear the robe, the reward that you have promised. The robe of righteousness, appreciating the garment of salvation, the law of duty, dependent upon and appreciating the giver of the gift to place the law in our hearts. So Isaiah 8 and verse 20, we will speak according to the law and the testimony. Continue to keep your children in your presence with deeper and deeper desires. May the ankle, the knee, and the hip experience the loins come to be experienced continuing in our lives as we continue to depend upon you, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray these blessings with thanksgiving. Amen and amen.
The Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. He came in mighty fullness there. Revive the church today.